Hey, America.
Start listening now.
Nice.
Best one yet.
Sure. Whatever you say, guys.
Nailed it.
All right. Well, it is storming, actually. It is raining quite heavily here in Minnesota. So hopefully you won't hear too much background noise from here and there.
But Sam, it is also important to remember that a storm like this.
Oh, God. No, Danny. No. Just cut to the music.
No, Danny!
No.
Stop it. And welcome to another damp episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision podcast from America. I had one. Crap. Whatever. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny.
And I'm just really, really happy that you didn't say another moist episode.
Yeah. I thought about it. I don't know. I think damp is funnier, you know? It just is. It just is.
Damp.
How's everyone doing?
I'm damp.
Damn. Sufficient.
Okay.
Toasty,
sufficient, and damp. That's speaking of things that are toasty, sufficient, and damp. Sam, hit it with the socials.
Hey, find us on social media at 12pointsusa on Facebook or Twitter, or email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. If you want to support us, feel free to scope out some of our merchandise that you can find over on our Redbubble site. Just look for 12pointsusa on Redbubble, or check out our YouTube page as well for the great live stream that we did a couple weeks ago, and for other maybe content that we may put up there at later point. Good times. If you are listening to us on your favorite streaming service, one, thank you for listening. And second, if you can rate and review us, we would really appreciate it. Every positive review that you put out into the world helps other people find us and join this little crazy community. So give us as many stars as your little heart can muster.
Yeah, we need to defeat the algorithm. It is our enemy and it must be destroyed.
Slain!
And in all seriousness, reviews do help with that. Helps folks find our weird damp show. So yeah, have them do that. Hashtag damp show.
Okay, we're done saying damp for the show now.
Now we're moving back onto moist, huh?
Which word is more uncomfortable, moist or used? Hit us up on 12
okay, no los dos. Oh man,
that's the burning question this week.
I can feel. The bad reviews coming. Like, the show isn't even out yet, and like I can feel it.
Yeah,
said damp too many times. One star.
But we do have a little bit of news to get to before we get to our. Is this already our fourth review show?
Four shows, man.
Be going over 7 countries tonight, but we do have just one little blip of news.
Yeah, we had a little bit more information on one of the invited acts who are going to be performing in Rotterdam, not necessarily as members of the competition, but as sort of side acts, interval acts. We have Glennis Grace, who will be returning to the Eurovision sphere after representing the Netherlands a couple years back, along with Wolf and a classical orchestra consisting of young local talent, as well as the renowned DJ Afrojack, who is probably one of the biggest names in global Dutch music, unless you're counting Duncan Lawrence, who was just on the Ellen show today.
Oh, yeah, I didn't watch that. How was it?
I only saw a couple of clips on the socials, but yeah, he was great. It's the dunk. Of course he's going to be good.
The dunk!
America runs on Duncan.
Yeah.
So did he like interview with Ellen and stuff, or did he just perform?
I definitely saw the performance. I'm not sure if there was an interview as well. I'm not positive. Again, I haven't scoped this out on. I haven't seen the full episode. I was busy today.
Fair enough. Well, if you're listening, just know that there's no way to know.
Ever.
I was just kind of wondering, did we know the interval acts last year at all? Were there any names called out or anything? I can't remember.
They planned before it was canceled?
Yeah, I think that they had mentioned a couple of little things, bringing back a couple of Dutch Eurovision stars from the past, like Lenny Kerr and Geddy Kaspers and things like that. But I don't think they'd gone into a ton of detail because they had kind of, by this time last year, they had canceled.
Hadn't they talked about, like, there was some Dutch kid or guy that was going to be doing the flag parade, and he had an interesting name, and I don't remember what it was.
Yes. Peter Gabriel.
That's right. His name was Peter Gabriel, but it was Peter Gabriel.
Yeah, it was a different
Burning
Peter
up
Gabriel.
That Selby Hill.
Danny.
Wrong Peter Gabriel. Yeah. Yeah. No, young DJ Peter Gabriel, who I think is just in his teens, is going to be producing the music for the flag parade in the final.
That's right.
Yeah. And they had also talked about Redo, who is a dancer and motivational speaker, opening up semifinal two. So I believe he is disabled somehow, or I can't remember his details, but he's a break dancer or some sort of modern dancer.
Hmm.
So yeah, things are beginning to fall into shape. We have knowledge of who is opening up semifinal two in the final. We have the interval act information for the semi two in the final. I don't quite know what's going on in the first semi, but I'm sure the folks behind the scenes have something wonderful planned for us.
Well, we do know one thing that's going to be going on in the first semi.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one that's going first, and it's the one that's going first in our previews this week. Ha ha.
Ah, that segue though.
Slightly less terrible segue than some of the last ones. Lithuania. Lithuania is opening the first semifinal, the first Eurovision song of the year, sort of. And I think it's a really good choice for that. And in addition to Lithuania, we are going to cover Portugal, France, Israel, Austria, Poland, and Russia. But first, let's give Lithuania, who's opening the first semifinal, a listen. This is The Roop with Discotheque.
Discotheque.
The Roop. I got the moves. It's gonna blow.
Dance alone, dance alone. That's Discotheque. That's The Roop. That's Lithuania.
The group known as The Roop.
All right. Somebody else should start this, preferably with a simple opinion, because mine is complex.
Ooh.
My opinion is complex as well.
Derek, how's your opinion? Your opinions are usually just flat and one-dimensional.
Wow.
Wow, dude.
Gee whiz.
Now you've just made him mad.
Yeah, it's
Derek,
all right.
Do you, next. Yeah. Well, elaborate, because I feel like your opinions might be Sam's and mine.
I quite like it. I think it's really catchy. I don't think there's a lot of depth to it, though. But I love the weirdness. I was listening to a podcast and somebody compared it to the Talking Heads, and I thought that was a very apt description.
Hmm.
I hadn't heard that before. But I think as far as music goes, it's such a unique style, unique voice. It has, I don't know, just everything about the package. It really stands out. I think this will do well with a lot of the Eastern countries this year, but I don't feel like this is as strong or has the immediacy that On Fire did.
I'm kind of in a similar boat. I find this really fun, really engaging, quirky, weird. I was also thinking kind of Talking Heads as well. And I'm not sure if it was just the sort of strange suit that gave it a very, you know, very David Byrne vibe there. I also kind of got a vibe of, you know, the old SNL bit with Mike Myers on Sprockets with Dieter?
Yes, Sprockets.
Yes.
The time we dance.
Now we dance.
Touch the monkey. Yeah. And so, yeah, that's the kind of where my brain went as well. It's sort of this strange, minimalistic, very sort of, yeah, it's quirky, it's weird, it's fun that I find magnetic. I worry that others might not. I think the lead singer, Vaidotas, is a very charming and engaging personality. His vocals aren't powerhouse. I will fully admit that. But this isn't the kind of song that is meant for a belting powerhouse vocal. It's simply a call to party and be silly and have fun and feel joy. And in a year like we've just had, I feel like that's really vital. So I'm happy the song is here. I don't know if it's as strong as On Fire last year, but I do really enjoy this.
So, I mean, you've got the non-powerhouse vocals, the big pile of quirkiness on stage, and then the dance routine that is so random, right? Like, it's just a bunch of entirely unrelated different moves.
You know that scene put together. The Birdcage where Robin Williams
is
telling his dancer how to move, and he's just throwing out various different choreographers to do. That's what it feels like when I'm watching that performance. It's like, and Madonna, Madonna, and Martha Graham, Martha Graham. That's what it seems like to me.
Michael Kidd, so, Michael Kidd, Michael Kidd, but you keep it all inside.
Let's say from
none
bands,
of this
right?
is inside, though.
Oh, yeah. It's out there.
So again, we've got the, you know, fairly straightforward vocal, right? We've got the quirkiness. We've got the super random dance routine that's fun to imitate. But enough about Iceland. honestly, though, I think possibly this and Dadi from Iceland are potentially competing for some of the same voters because they do have those similarities. I might be the only one here who likes this one more than On Fire.
It's close for me.
Yeah, it is close, but this one is just so joyful and fun. I lose it every time they do this sort of vertical hand wave thing. I love that. That's a delight. This is really, really fun. It is, I think, definitely potential as a top 10 finisher. That's where it is in the odds as the time we're recording this. I think it's an eighth right now. I don't see it as a winner. And a lot of that, I think, is because of Dadi. Not that Dadi's clearly better or more deserving or anything like that. They occupy a similar space in terms of sound, in terms of quirkiness and that sort of thing. And is there room for both? I don't know. We kind of talked about this with Roxanne and Victoria.
I mean,
as well.
Fortunately, like Roxanne and Victoria, Dadi and the Roop are in separate semifinals. So it's very, very possible that if they both qualify, we won't have to have this discussion until the final,
mm-hmm.
whether they'll against each other out at all.
I think we will have this conversation in the final or leading up to the final for sure.
I hope so. This first semifinal is stacked and we're bound for some measure of disappointment. Something surprising is going to fall. And sometimes I worry that it's going to be Lithuania.
Mm-hmm. Something really good is not going to make it. That's it. Then that's just the math.
I have a strange hunch that this might be the big surprise non-qualifier. And I only say that because I really don't have a taste for this song anymore. I think I liked it when I first listened to it, which at least give me some hope that it will survive the first semi. But it's just the more that I encounter this song, I think that On Fire was the superior Roop entry. And two, the more the lyrics just sort of grate on me, along with sort of the meme-ishness that is saddled upon this song. There's that one, the one lyric that starts the second verse that is like, by dancing on my own, I'm healing wounded souls. And I understand this would probably work better in a Lithuanian cultural context, but to me that just seems clunky. And a little cringy? I don't know.
I'll make a slight correction. I believe the lyric is soul singular, not souls.
I'm as healing in, he's
referring
wounded soul,
to like himself, I think.
Like an uncountable material. I see.
Oh, he's fixing his shoes.
I see.
No, it's S-O-U-L.
He's repairing his Kia.
I won't say this song doesn't work. The hamsters are there. It's the hamsters.
It took you a second, but I got there.
This is not a loser. For me, not at all. But it's weird because I understand what people see. I understand why people love it. At one point, I loved it. I just don't anymore. It's the meme-ishness, I think, that is turning me off of the whole thing.
I mean, this is also one of the earliest songs to be selected in year's contest. It was really one of the first songs to be on our list. So we've been listening to this for months. The vast majority of people watching the shows aren't necessarily going to have had this on their playlist and bouncing around in their craniums for the past 6 months. So,
yeah,
who knows?
Yep. Who knows? I don't. Anyway, that's Lithuania. I feel like we don't have to discuss Lithuania so much because we have talked about it since the beginning, and it's getting so much play from everywhere else, too.
I just want to go back and watch those old SNL episodes with Dieter.
Dieter!
Now is the time on Sprockets when we talk about Portugal's entry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the Black Mamba.
That's right.
With Love Is On My Side from Portugal.
So that was Love Is On My Side by the Black Mamba for Portugal. Fun fact, this is Portugal's very, very first song in their entire Eurovision history to be entirely in English. Not a single word of Portuguese in the entire 3-minute song.
They couldn't get it in if they tried. I'll start this time because my feelings are complex, but I know how to enunciate them.
Ooh.
So first off, I will say that I appreciate that this song is a nice laid-back pop song about love that does not feel like a Eurovision song. And I mean that specifically, like it just so happens to have been submitted for Eurovision while being a nice pop song. Because there are other countries that have a more try-hard approach that feel more precision-made to be a Eurovision.
Yes.
Eric, you okay over there?
A bad
okay?
It's fine. I've got a case of the Swedes. It's fine.
What I like about this song is that it reminds me of those laid back sort of, and this is, how can I describe this to people who don't live in the Twin Cities area? Like the city's 97 style of alternative pop of the late 2000s.
A little more acoustic, but still
very like, yeah, like the millennium's answer to easy listening music. I'm talking about like
Train.
Like Train or like Falling Slowly comes to mind when I'm listening to this song. Only Falling Slowly is objectively a great song.
Yeah, that's perfection.
You know, that
actually,
sort of, yeah. It's clearly like laid back rock, but it also has an introduction of string arrangement. And that's really what this song is. I don't adore this song, but I intensely appreciate that the songwriters clearly are like, and this is just a nice song that we like, have it.
So, Danny doesn't adore this song, as he said. I do. I think this is just a wonderful little thing. I agree with the general sentiment of what Danny's saying. I just also think it's very, very, very good. That being said, I'm not saying it's perfect. I don't know that it's my like top song of the year or anything like that. I just really love it. I agree that it definitely kind of has a, this is what we're doing, we don't really care how it goes sort of feel. And that's just sort of Portugal.
It is.
In a nutshell, to a certain extent. And this song, despite being in English, it still has that bit of longing that we get from a lot of Portuguese songs. It still feels like a Portuguese entry.
I do appreciate that it's like, maybe love is on my side, but not tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't be too happy.
Yeah. We are Portuguese, yeah, after all.
Yeah. So there are a few things that concern me. Pablo, the vocalist, going into the second chorus, does a bit of a vocal acrobatic thing. In the national final performance, which is the official music video for the song, doesn't go very well. And I feel like if he tries that again at Eurovision. On that topic, though, earlier today, as of the day we're recording this, the official Eurovision YouTube uploaded an acoustic performance of this, and it's quite nice. So if you like the song, or if you don't like the song, really check it out. See if it changes anything for you. I know that the Makes got no points. They should have gotten a lot of points. And I think they should get a lot of points as well. It does feel a little bit like that in terms of just the mood of it. Right now, it is not in the odds to qualify. It's in semi-2, so it's not part of the big bloodbath. But love may be on their side. Odds, maybe not on their side. I will go on record though as saying I think this will qualify. I think the song is just good enough to get there. It's a really nice song, and I think it'll stand out. There's nothing quite like it in that semi or in the contest as a whole. It's just a really, really, really lovely ballad, and I'm rooting for it. I'm preparing for the worst because I know how these things kind of go, and I believe I predicted in a prior show that this was going to finish super high. I've kind of backed off from that, I think. But we'll see. I'm rooting for it. That's what I'll say. I love it.
I think the song is really pretty. I think this is one of those songs that I enjoy listening to. And I feel like that way about a lot of what Portugal tends to send. I just, whatever the eventual scoreboard result is, I enjoy what comes out of Portuguese music scene. It just hits my ear in just the right way. I think that Pedro Tatanka, the lead singer, his voice is really intriguing and really, really interesting. That sort of affectation that's very bluesy and jazzy. It's really unique, and I can't think of any other voice that we've heard like that over the last couple of years at the contest. So it's a recognizable song immediately, but it just kind of gets into one gear and kind of stays there for me. Not that this is the kind of song that needs a key change or, you know, tons of fireworks or anything like that, but it just kind of sits in its groove and does its thing. But I'm looking for a call to action, and I don't think it would inspire a voter who's hearing the song for the first time to say, oh, I'm picking up the phone for that one. I think it's a beautiful song in its own right. I just, outside of the context of the contest, it's a very different result from what it would be from a contest focused song. So I like it. I just don't have a ton of hope for a result for it. Derek, you're being pensive and quiet.
I'm just trying to remember the name of the actress who played Black Mamba in Kill Bill.
Which one was that?
Vivica A. Fox?
Yes, it was Vivica
A.
Fox.
Oh, that's right. Oh, okay.
No, wasn't that Copperhead?
Was she Copperhead?
Wasn't she Copperhead? I have no clue. Anyway.
Kobe?
It wasn't Daryl Hannah. Anyway. I stand by my original comment on this one, and this feels like a a Pixar song that would play over a like a montage sequence when the character is sad, especially because it has that little orchestra lift at the beginning and it feels very kind of low key. I like his voice. I think it's really interesting. I really wish he had like a blues guitar playing with him more than kind of a more subtle thing, like he, like a song like Black Magic Woman or something like that. Like it's a really like bluesy kind of deep thing with the with that sort of higher falsetto. I just think that'd be really cool. And I think this song is a little too simple for him. I'd like to see him try something a little different. I think it's trying to be very subtle and kind of comfortable and wistful, maybe is the word. But it doesn't have like that deep emotional pull that I think other Portuguese songs have had. He just like he just feels kind of sad. It's not like tragic in a way.
Which, if you really look at the lyrics of the song and the story that he has said in interviews about the origins of the song, that he was inspired by a woman that he met in the Netherlands, I think possibly a sex worker, talking about coming to the Netherlands, moving and being an expatriate or however you want to term that, with a pocket full of dreams, and then just having your heart broken over and over and over again and having life crap on you, but you still have hope that things are going to be okay. And I find that really, really engaging and really, really powerful.
I guess maybe that doesn't quite come through in the song as much as we'd hope then, because
it kind of feels like he's just remembering a time when he was young and he had his heart broken. He mentions like when I was sweet 16 and, you know, love is on my side, but maybe not tonight. I mean, there is an optimism to it. Like, okay, I'm just having a bad day. I don't know if that's enough to really excite me to vote for it, though.
So a couple of things. One, I double checked. The Black Mamba in Kill Bill is the bride.
That's the main character.
Yeah. Two, how do we feel about this compared to Meta Dysentir from last year?
Different. Very, very different.
Oh, remind me of Meta Dysentir.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah.
This was, was that the two sad
step
girls?
Up, I guess, is my question.
No, that was the one on the piano and then the other one. It was a very, like...
The one in Portuguese.
Yeah, it felt like a very traditional fado kind of song.
I wouldn't say fado, just ballad.
Well, ballad, but like Portuguese ballad.
I suppose.
Like stylistically, it had a lot of those influences.
I feel like, but it was still a pop kind of ballad at its core. This, I feel, has a lot more of an influence of jazz and blues. Like I would love to just curl up in a little blues club somewhere, a little hole in the wall spot with a Manhattan, and just listen to this guy for, you know, an evening.
Well, they do have a few albums. They've been around in Portugal for a while.
Yeah, I may have to do a deep dive into the catalog, which is a great sign for like me connecting with an artist and a song. Like, do I want to learn more about them? And I definitely do. This song is just, it's so subtle. It's just, there's no call to action. And I fully admit that I've stolen this phrase from you and over at ESC Insight, but I can't think of a better way to say it. What's the thing about the song that's going to make somebody say, I'm voting for that over the, you know, the 16 other songs of the semi?
I think it's the Windows Movie Maker vintage movie filter they have playing over it.
I think if your girlfriend just dumped you, you might be like, yeah, man, I get that.
12 points. So I guess devil's advocate here, I'm just asking, compare this to another song that's very subtle, like a Marpelos Deutsch. What was the call to action there exactly? I mean, clearly there was one because it got a billion points. I'm not saying this is that.
A Marpelos Deutsch made you stop what you were doing and listen. This one is a bit more background noise for me. Like, I would continue my conversation if this were playing in the background. When a Marpelos Deutsch stops up, I stop what I'm doing, even, you know, 4 years after the fact, I still stop and listen.
Fair enough. I guess when I first listened to the FDC songs for the first time, this was the one that made me stop and go back and be like, hang on, what was that? That was really, really cool. And maybe that's unique to me. I don't know. I just really love the song. I don't know.
I mean, hey, whatever we say doesn't harsh your swe. Like, love what you love.
Harsh my what? Anyway, the...
Do you never heard that before? Harsh your squee to...
You don't eat a lot of cheese curds, do you?
Oh, squee.
No. Squee.
I heard swee. I was like, what is that? Is that something that's sweet but not quite as sweet?
No, it's to harsh your swede. It's to, you know, put horseradish on your
rutabagas. Oh, that's good, because I did have a case of the Sweden earlier.
Yeah.
I suppose I should use a sweet harshener. Anyway, shall we move on to the next tune?
We should.
Here. Okay. We've got, oh, it's France, you guys.
Ooh.
The France, c'est Voilà de Barbara Pravi.
Fantastique.
Yeah. Let's give it a listen. Voilà, 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 voilà qui je suis. Me voilà même si, mise à nu, j'ai pas, oui. Me voilà dans le bruit et dans le silence.
Okay, that was Barbara Pravi from France with Voilà. And the thing that I was talking about with Portugal, how a song makes you stop what you're doing and just you're rapt at attention, Voilà does that for me.
I was going to make the same comparison. We were, yeah, that thing we were just talking about. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. This is that.
This is the one. Yeah. That.
Voilà. I just, oh, I say this all the damn time. I respond to a song that makes me feel things. And my French is subpar. It's not that great, but I get it and I connect and it hits hard. Mm. And this is whatever the hell this ends up doing on the scoreboard, whether people think, oh, it's too stereotypically French, or they see it as something absolutely gorgeous. This is something that France can be so, so proud of on the night of the final. And I absolutely love it. It is in probably my top three this year. And depending on what mood I'm in, it is my number one. If I'm feeling melancholy and piaffy, if I'm sitting there with a glass of wine and bearing my soul to the world, this is what I'm feeling. This is the song that I'm feeling. And it is, I always say this, but it is staggering to me that this is the same brain that gave us J'imagine. And I've said it before, but like, just on that fact alone, I feel like I need to bow down to her creativity.
I think that thing you're referring to is talent.
Ah,
and it's lacking in a lot of other artists.
Well, artists could learn from this lady.
From this songwriter, yes.
Yeah.
I'm glad we invoked the name of Edith Piaf, because I feel like she's going to get those comparisons never-endingly. I think deservingly, too. Because she has such emotional command of this very emotional song. Like, this is a chanteuse's chanteuse, I feel. I also feel this is Eurovision's answer to, like, Anne Hathaway's Oscar win for Les Mis. Like, it's just that intense. I feel like if there is no other competition even close as far as like really just going for like the emotional gut punch. So they're really, if the, that's Maybe. True, but France has the advantage of getting to go right to the final.
Oh yeah.
Switzerland's going to,
yeah.
Fine. Seriously. Good on the Francophone world for serving it this year.
Mm-hmm. God, this, it feels like the best possible reaction to The Best in Me. Like, I'm sorry. France. Was this not French enough? Oh, I'm okay. Okay, hang on. Hey, give me 1 second here. And then this comes out. Like it's that's perfect.
Honestly, the only thing missing is her like smoking a cigarette and talking about the Nazis. They threw my husband's body into the river. Like, that's all this really needs to be the most French thing possible.
She's even wearing a beret, guys.
I know.
She needs a shopping bag with a baguette sticking out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A couple of onions hanging from her bike handle.
Striped shirt.
Yeah, one of those striped shirts, yeah.
This really has that call to action. I mean, God, the call to action is just built right in, isn't it? Look at me. Listen to me. I'm not saying that in a making fun of it way or anything like that. This is spectacular. Like, I think this has the potential to do monster numbers. In the way that Salvador did 4 years ago. God, that was 4 years ago. I appreciate on a personal level that my French is just good enough that I can understand most of this song. But even if I couldn't, I would still get it. Kind of the way Sam was saying, right? That you get it. You get that pull, whatever. As much as I love Love Is On My Side, and I ramble enough about that, this really is on a crazy level in comparison. I mean, this just... Yeah, these. I'm glad we did these back to back because it shut me up.
Now we feel bad.
No. Just saying. Oh, okay. Well, what's the call to action for noon? I was like, oh, okay. Well, I get it now. I see. I still love that song, but yeah, this is dynamite. This is going to be This is going to be up there. When we talked about this, when it won its national final, there were only, I mean, probably less than 10 songs official at the time. And we all agreed this could be it, despite not having heard
anything
most
else,
of the field. Do we still feel that way?
Yes.
Okay. A possible winner? My God, yes.
Yeah. When I said before that I'm not doing this to harp on Love Is On My Side. I think it's a beautiful song. I'm just using it as a close comparison, an example, how it just kind of stayed in one gear and how this song, Voila, is able to pick up and transform and just like slowly speed up, and that change in tempo and the addition of more instrumentation. And it just evolves in a way that you don't normally see in a traditional Eurovision song. It's not like it needs the key change. It doesn't need this or that. It's doing things in a different way that you suddenly find yourself being drawn in. It's sort of like a whirlpool, like circling the center of it. And suddenly you find yourself just sucked into it as it goes faster and faster and faster and faster and faster. Yeah. And
I think it's pretty easy to not notice the extent to which it's speeding up until it is in that like panic attack.
And then it stops
at the end. And then,
stops.
Yeah. Incredible. Incredible. Derek's being quiet again.
Oh, no. He hates it. He hates it.
No, I absolutely love it.
What a relief. We're still friends with Derek. Okay.
God, you guys always assume the worst.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Well, everything. Yes, that's fair. Okay. I learned that.
Derek's got those spicy takes.
Spicy. To melt those.
Taco tamale.
It was hard to chime in because you guys were saying everything I wanted to say.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I'm like,
we'll move on.
I'm not just going to jump in and be like, yeah, that. And that too, yes. As far as Eurovision songs go, kind of we've said this before, but I feel like this is doing everything it needs to do to win, whether or not it does, but it's doing all the things that you would assume a Eurovision song would do to win, and it's doing them just, I would say, perfectly, as perfect as you could possibly do them. I mean, it's got the cultural element, it's a bit esoteric, but it doesn't feel restrictive. It feels very inviting. You understand what she's going through. It catches you off guard early on by kind of going slowly, and then it pulls you in, and then all of a sudden it's just taking off and you don't know where you're going. And that's really exciting. There's a lot of different emotions going on in here. It's not just kind of focusing on I'm sad or I'm, you know, it's got these, it tells an entire story in 3 minutes. And you know, you talk about, you know, a movie's bad when you're checking your watch and seeing how much longer the movie has to go. Yeah. And this song kind of has the opposite approach. Every time it ends, I don't realize 3 minutes have gone by.
Yeah, you're like, that's it?
Yeah, but I'm like, I wouldn't change anything about it necessarily, but I'm trying to think of another song, but it just, Grow last year kind of did this to me too, but it just, when it starts, I'm kind of like, oh, this is interesting. And before I know it, it's got 100% of my attention. And I'm hoping for the best for this one because I don't think anything else compares to it in a lot of ways.
It's just it's a confection, but in the same way that there's confections that dissolve, there's cotton candy confections, and then there are French pâtisserie that you've gone to school for 10 years to learn how to make the perfect shoe bun. Like this is artistry.
This is a piece of dark chocolate that you have to let sit on your tongue for a moment before chewing.
And then two guys show up at the patisserie pretending like they can speak French. And
that's what the video is missing, her to be rude to an American. I would say one other thing I want to say about this too is this song is incredibly mature. And
yes,
it feels really nice to have a mature song again. We're going to get to songs that are not.
Yeah.
We talked about that a little bit with Belgium, too, that I get a little bit of that vibe. Like, this isn't for the kids.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I guess that's what it's going to come down to. Is Europe going to latch onto that maturity and that pull that the song has? If it does, honestly, this is a very good chance this is it. If not, or if Europe just wants something more upbeat because of the last
world,
you know, 15 months or whatever it's been, then no, this is... It might be a tough sell, but oh God, you're right, Derek. Everything is there for the taking. It's just going to come down to, is it going to be the one that people latch onto the most? And it very well could be.
Yeah. And I think Malta is a fantastic song. I think Destiny is a brilliant singer. I think that song skews a little younger. It's cheeky and fun. And I think that's great in its own right. I think it is going to come down to just what mood are people in? Do they want something like fun and goofy like Malta? Do they want something like kind of sweeping and epic like Switzerland? Do they want something really contemplative and introspective?
Oh, man, if it comes down to just France or Malta,
I'm happy either way.
Extremely, but like,
And honestly, either way, it is a major, major redemption and like check mark in the hooray column for the Junior Eurovision Empire. That it's that people, you know, who turn up their nose at Junior and say, okay, this isn't a place for credible talent. Like, no, this has given us Barbara Pravi and this has given us Destiny Chikuniere. Yeah. Pay some respect to Junior because you are getting some incredible talent.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of paying respect, France, all is forgiven. You are the best in me. Never happened.
Yep.
They should have premiered this on the Eiffel Tower. My God.
No, that would have been, that would have almost been too much French. Like the world would have like imploded onto itself. That would have been a bit too much.
All right. Do we have any more fawning we need to do on this one? Or
no,
should
we don't.
I can move on that forever. Just roll on before I, you know, before I try to get a French passport. So who's next?
Oh, well, it's outside of Europe. So let's leave Europe. Let's go to Israel. It's Israel. This one is Eden Alene. It is called Set Me Free.
That was Eden Aline with Set Me Free from Israel. What do y'all think?
Is it Eden Aline?
Aline?
Lene.
Oh, it doesn't rhyme? Sorry.
I will start out by saying I thought that her submission for Israel last year was unique, but also a non-starter. I thought it was a little bit of a, it just didn't have any magic behind it. On the other hand, I cannot stop listening to this song. I can't. It helps that the revamp is a revamp par excellence. It has removed certain things from the original version, and it has added everything correct in other places. Not the least of which is that bouncy, chunky-ass synth bass throughout the entire song. I die when I hear it. It's amazing. They also added that vocal glide down during in the chorus when she's like, I'm gonna make it on my own. And it's just, there's these subtle things everywhere that make it sound, it's clearly the same song, but it is such an improvement. And it also has a ton of attitude behind it that other poppy female-driven bangers like Senit's Adrenalina just don't have. There's a certain quality to this that is absolutely my alley. The breakdown is so much better because it is stripped back. I don't know. I am absolutely in love with this song. This is shameless, wonderful pop. I love it. I love this.
I think this is so much fun. And when I said that they were going to be doing a revamp, I was worried because I thought the original version was totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
It was a solid pop song, but they... Like Danny said, they enhance things. Like things that I didn't realize needed to be enhanced, they actually did make better. I thought the little change in the chorus was good. I'm happy that they retained some of the little sprinklings of Hebrew in there.
Mm-hmm. Those are all there still.
Yeah, that's still in there. You know, like I said last year, I was sad to see, you know, any of the Amharic that we got from Fekerli be, you know, gone. But at least we have a little bit of local linguistic culture in there. And this is a song that I can hear and I can immediately identify as Israeli or Middle Eastern influence. Like there's a little bit of that cultural touchstone in there. I could figure out where this is from without having heard the Hebrew. Having her whistle tone at the end there, when I heard that in studio for the first time, my mouth dropped. I didn't realize she had that in her.
Let's hope she hits it. Man, if she hits that.
Yeah, I mean, and hopefully it's fortunate enough that if it gets to the point of rehearsals and she realizes I can't hit this, she could pull back and she could still do something else.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but the thing that draws me most about this song is Eden herself. She is very magnetic and so confident for a young artist. Like she's only, what, 21? Yeah, she's 20. She'll be 21 when her semifinal is up. So, but she commands the stage and the camera very, very capably, like as much as an artist who's got, you know, twice as much experience under her belt. And she is just sassy and commanding and you believe her. Like, even though this isn't necessarily a song that she had anything to do with the songwriting of, I don't think that she had her hand in it at all. I believe this for her. It didn't feel like, okay, here's a song, here's a singer, let's squish them together. To me, it feels a lot more organic than other similar younger pop songs that we've had this year that we've talked about. that I harped on last weekend, or that last week, frankly. This hits a little bit closer to my sweet spot for this. Derek, Eric?
I'm going to just say, I think this song is good. I'm not feeling it the way you guys are, and I'm not sure why. It seems to me like it's a serviceable pop song. It's catchy. It's fun. I haven't seen her do it live, so maybe she is more commanding. Like, it's hard to say looking at a music video and being like, oh yeah, she commands the stage. Like, I mean, I saw her live performance last year. She was all right. When this comes on, I'm like, yeah, it's catchy. It's good. I don't get particularly excited about it, though. I don't know what's missing, but...
I knew it.
Yeah, there it is.
There's no way I can explain it in a way that will make sense to you, Derek, because you like stuff that I think is absolute garbage.
Oh, you have no idea.
And you hate the stuff that I love.
I'm not saying it's bad. I think it's good. I just feel like... Like, last year, the song, I feel like I respected it a lot more than I liked it. And this year, I kind of feel like I have the opposite reaction. I like it, but I don't...
You don't respect it.
I don't respect it. Like, I don't think it's doing anything... It doesn't feel like it's doing anything really remarkable. It feels like a good pop song. And I'm like, okay, it's a good pop song in a year with a lot of good pop songs.
So... I feel like the first time I heard this, I was pretty firmly in Derek's camp. But I feel like I'm moving towards... Sam and Danny's camp a little bit.
Come back.
I
Eric, I don't know how you can love Last Dance as much as you do.
That's the thing. I don't either, because
no, I mean, like, it's the same. It's the inverse for me. Like, how can I dislike Last Dance as much as I do, and like Set Me Free as much as I do? They're not tied to each other.
No, they're not. I definitely like this more than Fikirli B from last year. I think it's a better song. I think it's less of a, like, this is a song only Eden could do. I think this is a little more, I hate to use the word generic, but it's a little more generic than Fikirli B was. It just is. But I still think it's a better song. Watching the video and seeing the dancing and the performance, I'm starting to get it a bit more. I think this is maybe going to be that song that grows on me, that there is always one or two of every year. Because it's pretty good. I'm just not quite there with it either. But I think it's going to climb my rankings a bit. Yeah, and those absurd high notes at the end. If she's got that live, this is a qualifier for sure. If she doesn't, particularly if she goes for it and it comes out poorly... I think it's borderline.
This is 71 too, I think.
Oh,
if we're talking about countries that are on the fence, I mean, there's a lot of them on the fence, but this could be a surprise non-qualifier if it doesn't quite come together on the night.
Talking about that high note, if she hits it, it might break the record for the highest note at Eurovision history.
Ooh, what is that record?
According to what I'm seeing here, it would be from Croatia 1996, Maja Blagdan Sveta Ljubav, which was a terrifying high note that came out of absolutely nowhere. A B flat 5.
Oh.
From this, it seems like Eden's note is a B6.
So we're not just beating the record in that case. We're shattering it like a glass of wine.
It's a B6 whistle tone. So it is, like, what was Mariah's highest at her peak?
I think she might have been able to get into sevens, I think.
Egads. Needless to say, when she's practicing the song, I may have to remove my glasses just for the sake of my own ocular safety.
Okay, yeah. In arpeggios, Mariah could get to E7, apparently.
Mm.
Which, that is absurd.
That's nuts.
That's like dog whistle tones at that point.
Oof. I mean, just even if she doesn't hit it live, the fact that she could even do that in studio at all.
They got machines for that.
I'm incredibly impressed by this.
I may need to already correct myself. Apparently on the end of Emotions, G sharp 7 is as high as it goes. Which is a couple of tones higher than what I said previously. So when we check again in 5 minutes, she's going to be in the eights or nines. Just keep skyrocketing, baby.
Egads.
In conclusion, Israel's going to win.
let's not go there.
See, the thing is, if we say that for every song, we can play a clip later that's right. Like, see, who called it? That's right. I don't think this is going to win.
Just even in the half it's in, it's going up against Croatia, Azerbaijan, Malta. It's surrounded by these female-led bops.
It is a type that there is a glut of this year, and all in that semifinal.
And I would say if this was in the other semi, easily qualifying. But now it's sort of like, you're really going to have to do something to stand out.
I will say at least she has a little bit of the benefit of being in the running order between Belgium and Romania to slower, more downbeat entries. So she might stand out just in terms of the sandwich that she's in, but it's not a given either way that she will qualify or not qualify. So
maybe that's where that note comes in then.
Yeah.
You know, arguably she may need it.
And those dancers.
That will help as well.
There's some great dancing.
Reminds me
that
a bit, just the general feel, reminds me a bit of Replay from Cyprus.
Oh, yeah.
And that was maybe a bit of a borderline one as well, just because, again, it was in a pretty strong semi. But it got there, and it ended up doing pretty well. So I could see this having a similar trajectory, I guess.
I think that's a fair comparison. How'd that one end up doing, like 10th?
13th.
So next up, we got Vincent Bueno from Austria with his song, The Other Amen.
Amen to
the Amen
and Harder.
But amen! Amen! Tell me, is this what you wanted? Is this what you wanted? Amen!
All right, that was Vincent Bueno with Amen to. All right, it's actually just called Amen. Who wants to go first? Me, I'll start. I think I have some mixed feelings on this. I don't think it's a bad song. I think there's some power to it.
But go on.
I think there's a bit of power to it. It's clearly very emotional. I think it's a very personal song for him. Having said that, I'm a bit confused by the message. Obviously, there's some of the religious imagery there. I don't know what's being said. What are we saying amen to here? You know what I mean? And I think some of the imagery is about death and like full-on loss of life. But then others of it feel more about the end of a relationship, something that is not the end of everything the way death is. So, yeah, the message is a little bit weird to me. I don't quite know what it's going to convey. It's being conveyed very strongly, and I appreciate that. It's sung well. Something's lost in the incongruity of what's being said and all of that. But I don't hate it. I like it better than the other Amen, I think. If I'm being honest, but it doesn't quite come together for me.
I think it's really interesting. This one, it's more of a showcase for his singing talent rather than his dancing. I think that was a really brave choice on his part to come out with something completely different. That's a little bit more static, but more emotional. He's showing a little bit more range here. I'd like to think that it's sort of at least my understanding is that he's speaking to God. It has like that religious theme to it. And I'm wondering if the lyrics aren't really giving us enough to create a narrative.
Well, Derek, he couldn't say, "Are you there, God? It's me, Bueno."
But it's interesting to compare it to something like Répondez-moi last year, which kind of had a similar tact where he was literally speaking into the void and saying, "Answer me. Why is this, this, and this?" I mean, he had very specific things he was talking about. And this one is just kind of like, "Is this what you wanted? Amen." And I'm like, "I don't know what you're talking about." And I think what this is really missing is, and I feel like I'm in a fiction workshop here now, but I need concrete details. I need specifics. If someone died, I need you to say, "My mother died. Where are you?" You know, something like that to give me something to grab onto. Because right now he might as well not even be speaking English, because there's nothing there for me to get a foothold on. And I find that very frustrating. And for as good as his performance is, I think he's invested and I'm still standing outside.
You're taking so many of my talking points, to be honest. Yeah, I also find the message kind of muddled. It's like, it's obviously the end of a relationship, but there's something more going on here, and something that maybe we're not privy to, but at the same time, you know, you're also putting your message out in front of millions. And Vincent is an adept performer. He, you know, his vocals are not the issue here. His vocals are great. And I think his storytelling is good. Like he's very emotive and is able to convey that, yes, this is a song with emotional gravitas, but there's got to be a story behind it. And otherwise, I'm just sort of, well, if you're not going to tell me, why should I listen? And it feels kind of bitchy to say, but it's sort of, you know, I want to be there. If it's like, if I'm comforting a friend who's going through a bad time, but you're not telling me what's wrong, it's a little bit difficult for me to kind of get my point of view and try to help. So it's hard to engage as a listener in that. But on a completely just audio level, it's a pretty song. His vocals are great. I like how it builds. I like how it visually builds, at least in the music video. How it starts with like little cell to slightly bigger cell to bigger white room to now studio to rooftops of somewhere in Austria. I thought that was a very cool video, but we're not seeing a video on stage in Rotterdam.
Hopefully they can do something similar.
I hope kind of
an expansion of the world that he's in.
Yeah, it would definitely help if they could translate that somehow. I think having read about Vincent and seen interviews and things like that, I know that he has experienced some tremendous personal losses as an adult, and that he has fueled those into his music. I'm not going to get into that because it's not really clear what of those is being addressed by this song or being referenced by this song. And I guess maybe that's part of the problem. This feels very personal, but we're kind of, as Derek alluded to, on the outside looking in. All right, Danny, let her rip.
So I loved Alive last year and I showered it with praise. So I feel like I can tell Vincent Bueno from the bottom of my heart, this song is really bad. This song feels about as interchangeable and empty as Uku Suviste's song from last year, What Love Is. It just feels like it is a showcase of vocal talent, but as far as the actual content of the song, I might as well just be napping. I don't like it. I would not want to listen to it again. It doesn't cause me pain, but I'm just very disappointed. It is boring.
It's so interesting we're talking about this in the same episode as France, because France, if you don't speak French, you still understand everything she's saying.
Oh, yes. But instead, this one, the lyrics and the emotion is so bland and one note. Listen, I'm sure it's coming from a legitimate wellspring of artistic feeling, but unfortunately, there's just many elements of this song that add up to it just being a snoozer.
So this is in semi two.
Not qualifying.
Okay.
Separated from the other amen, at least.
Yeah. What if I told you that, at least in the current odds, it is higher than 50% chance to qualify?
The thing is, though, odds don't... The only thing that odds measure are who is betting.
I know. I'm just kind of surprised by that is all. That people are thinking like, I guess Austria, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, if there's a lot of things that have to go right. I mean, if their staging is absolutely brilliant and he absolutely nails it on the night, it could squeak through just barely, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is just ahead of our next song. So part of this is I'm trying to make a segue, you see. So right on the edge of qualification, according to the odds, which are meaningless and we don't care, but we love them. They are right neck and neck, Austria is, with Poland. So let's give a listen to Poland. This is The Ride by Sam. How do you say the L with the thing?
I think the L with the thing is like a W, isn't it? So Rafał.
Oh, all right. Well, here's Rafał, nailed it with The Ride from Poland. That was Rafał with The Ride. That is the entry from Poland this year.
All right, Eric, Danny, let me stop you there.
Okay.
Because I have been dying to talk about Poland for the past 8 weeks or however long this song has been out. So Rafał's The Ride from Poland is a philosophical conundrum. I cannot adequately describe this song in like 10 English words. So here comes 10 minutes on The Ride.
Oh God.
This song exists in two different parts of my head at the same time. The part of my head that knows that this song is such pop diaper trash, but at the same time, it lives in another part of my brain that knows that this song is, and I mean this very sincerely, I am emotionally just broken up about my opinion of this song. So good, so listenable, so danceable. And yet, the moment that I am no longer listening to this song, I cannot recall the melody. All I know is that I need to hold on for the ride of my life. Taking in time, that's what it's all about, or something like that. All I know is that I need to listen to it again as soon as it is done.
This song is so frustrating because I know it is bad. I know it's so disposable. And yet, I need to rebuy it again because I have already disposed of it. So I just need to keep getting it and disposing of it. I hate this song, and I love it so much. The ride.
I think I may have figured out why this does that to you.
What is it?
And it's gonna be a bit of a generalization, and I apologize in advance.
Sure.
It's a Swedish songwriting team.
Oh my god.
So the same factory of a nation when it comes to pop music that has given us so many Melody Festivalen songs. It almost makes you wonder if this is a Melody Festivalen reject that Poland was like, ooh, I'll take that. Thank you.
Even Eric Sada was like, eh. But Rafał was like,
hey.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, so that explains the slickness and the polish and all of that.
We haven't even gotten to the music video, which consists of so many male models, like, just rolling around this neon-encrusted basement with him.
Yeah, it was Night at the Roxbury, but Roxbury is spelled with, you know, C-Z-C-Z-X-Z-S-C-Y-I.
There's definitely a rogue Z in there somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I was watching this video and really, really tempted to do the Chris Kattan, Will Ferrell. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
Ow, I've hurt my neck. Great.
I will say, this song is so 80s. This song is the most 80s of all of them as it does it. However, I adore how much I hate this song, unlike Denmark, which is just, I hate how much I hate it.
The thing is, at least Rafał was born in 1981, so he may actually still have tangible, coherent memories of the music of the 80s from having lived it. The
was babysat years. By Sheena Easton. Sure, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so I mean, at least if you're going to go for an 80s vibe, maybe I find it slightly more believable than I do for others. But the song is cotton candy. It's enjoyable when you're consuming it, but it dissolves immediately and then you're on to the next. Or you have another mouthful of cotton candy, which is obviously what Danny seems to be craving. It's just more cotton candy. Just if somebody can figure out how to inject cotton candy directly into Danny's veins, I'm sure he'd probably appreciate it. Mm. I, on the other hand, I'll just take the mouthful of cotton candy and then move on to something else. I'd rather spend my state fair money on something better.
I wish I could collectively hear all of the Polish diaspora when they get their phones out and they're going to vote and they're going to be like, wait, how did Poland go again?
I'm going to hold them for the ride of your life. Ma, 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 and that's what it's all about.
It's not the hokey pokey.
Also, oh my god.
I'm kind of with Danny on this one. It's not a good song. It's immediately forgettable. But when it's on, it's so fun.
Yes!
And I will say, I think the best thing about it is it fully embraces the 80s thing, and it does it right. I'm like that it's fully committed.
It plays it so seriously. Yes.
There's no winking or joking. Like, even with Denmark, I know they're kind of sincere, but I'm still not 100% sure that it's
He's wearing sunglasses. You can't tell if he's winking.
I know. They're pretty dark sunglasses, too. That's why he keeps looking around. I will say the one thing that bothers me about the song, I think the song would be a million times better if it was only a minute long.
Like a ringtone?
Yes.
Kind of like a ringtone, isn't it?
It just feels like it repeats the same bit over and over again. Like, whenever I'm listening to it, it could be 20 minutes long, it could be 30 seconds long, and I just feel like, I don't know where we are in the song. It's just...
These guys wrote a great verse and a chorus. Why not repeat it three times?
That's exactly what it is. And every time I hear it, after about a minute and a half, I feel like, okay, I've heard enough of this song. I'm done now.
So I wrote a short review on a napkin that I had handy. I wrote down, C-tier boy band comeback attempt.
He really did
because
do that. That's
this really feels like one of the worst guy, one of the like crappier guys from New Kids on the Block was like, I can do this on my own, and then he released this. It's not very good.
The other Lachey brother,
right? Yeah. Skippy Lachey wrote this song, and then like I get the appeal. Like there's definitely some fun to it, but it's not very good. You guys.
No, it's not.
No,
it's
absolutely not.
No.
I feel like anyone could tell me I love this song and I'd go, yeah. And then someone would be like, this is my least favorite song of the year. And I'd be like, yeah.
You could project anything you want onto it.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. It truly is. It's Schrödinger's song. It is simultaneously great and absolute. What did I call it? Diaper trash?
Diaper trash.
I think that you said diaper trash. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. There is no use beating a dead horse, so let's move on to our last song.
Ooh, what do we got? What's on the roster?
It's Russia. We have a song from Russia. I guess that's not really new or exciting, but the song is
I think. Let's give it a quick listen. This is Manesia with Russian Woman. Here it is.
All right, our last song of the week from Russia. That is Russian Woman by Manesia.
If you told me we were going to voluntarily close with a banger from Russia like 3 months ago, I would have been like, shut up. No way. No way.
Well, I mean, we would have thought it would have been Little Big 3 months ago. So,
I suppose.
If you had told me 3 months ago that we would be ending with a badass feminist banger from Russia, from Russia, that I would not have expected.
You would have then told me that it was going to be Pussy Riot, and my eyes would have exploded out of my sockets.
I would have killed to have heard Pussy Riot representing Russia, but you know, I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. I think they're more likely to represent San Marino.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I would pay good money for that. Anyway, that's
they're
an episode
only likely
for
to represent Russia if it's ever hosted in Switzerland.
Back to Manesia, to Russian Woman.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say it. This is my favorite Russian Eurovision entry ever.
I would say that too.
By a good margin.
Yes.
I mean, and like their winner was kind of blah for me. I thought You Are the Only One was frustratingly good. Same thing with like A Million Voices. This is on a whole other level, though. This is so cool. And I'm so excited to be talking about Russia in a way that I don't feel gross about or just be like, ugh, Russia. No, this is awesome. This is a side of the country that we've really ever gotten to see in the contest before. And you can imagine how a lot of people in the country feel about that. By the way, Manesia is of Tajik descent. Is that right?
Yep.
She was born in Tajikistan. Yeah.
Yeah. And came to Russia as a refugee. And the message here, as much as anything, I think, is a Russian woman can mean more different things than what a lot of people may think, what a lot of people believe, what a lot of people may want to admit. And that's incredible.
Absolutely. She's blazing her own path in a way that you don't normally see at Eurovision. Oftentimes, like we said this before, that Russia at the contest has generally sent something either so incredibly polished, you know, like you said, A Million Voices, like we've seen from Sergei, or it's so almost cartoonish, like the Boronovsky Babushki, like we the grannies, God bless them, some of them rest in peace. We never have seen a side of the Russian music scene like this at Eurovision, and I'm so, so, so happy to see it. And it is ruffling so many feathers certain segments of the Russian population. And part of me was so thrilled to see Russia kind of bust out and send something like Manesia. And then the reaction from some members of the Duma and some measures of the Russian population, it just brings it right back to the image that I'd had previously. And it's kind of heartbreaking. That being said, I would rather focus on Manesia and this song. It is badass. It is innovative. It is original. It is risky. It is chaotic. It is wonderful.
Yeah. Musically, just watching the live performance, what I thought was, this is like if Pauly Shay slapped harder and had more rep.
This almost does tick my box of worshiping the dear God. Instead, we just have people standing around in a circle chanting and singing. This is one of those songs that I think I appreciate more than I love. I love that it comes from Russia. I think I love that more than anything about this song. This isn't for me musically, but it would personally delight me to see this advance to the final duo.
I worry that because it is so different from what we see from Russia, that some people might not respond to it. The fact that it is in Russian, which, you know, some people will be able to understand, but many will not. And it kind of feels like two or three songs squished into one. Like I said, it's a little chaotic. Some people might attach themselves to that immediately and say, okay, that's cool, that's different. And other people might just be like, okay, that's just too much. Like what we saw with Pauly Shay, for example. It's in that absolutely heavy, heavy, loaded semifinal number one. So I worry that will this just alienate too many people? But hell, I love this.
I think the word you forgot to mention earlier was authentic.
Oh, yeah, that
and
too.
Just
that
talking, too. Talking about her as an artist, her backstory is fascinating. Like, as a refugee coming to Russia, like, her village was bombed, her house was blown up. You know, she's got this harrowing backstory that, you know, and that feeds into the narrative of the song itself. Like, what she's singing about is very true to her and what her beliefs are, and kind of as an outsider coming into this culture and creating her own identity. I think it's more successful at this than another song we'll talk about later. But I mean, I think even though it's sort of chaotic and it's all over the place, it's very catchy. You fall into it pretty easily. I don't feel like it's going to alienate too many people. In Russia, I feel like they have a pretty good foothold in the contest that they can be experimental like this and get away with it. I think people are going to glom onto this a lot more, especially given her kind of outspoken political views might align more with a lot of the viewership as well, and they might vote for it kind of out of spite.
I agree with that. I feel like this feels a bit like a progressive side of Russia kind of giving a middle finger to the more traditional side of Russia, and I think people are going to appreciate that.
Yeah.
I think people are going to love that about this. That's what I love about it. So, yeah, I'm not too worried about this making it through, I don't think. That said, I was just looking at Semi 1, and it's so ridiculous. There are 16 songs in this semi. I think there are 15 that I could reasonably see qualifying.
Oh, what's the one?
Oh, it's the other Amen.
Oh, that makes sense. I would say
every other one, I think, has a reasonable shot.
Yeah, I think if you randomly picked 10 and told me these are the 10 that are going to qualify, I'd be like, yeah, I believe you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. There are a few that I think are locks, but we'll get to that. I don't think this is one of the locks, but I expect it to make it.
I wanted to make it so badly. I think the final will be enriched by it being there.
It's so much fun. She is just so enigmatic, and it's so good.
I mean, this is the kind of thing I wish, not just Russia, I mean, a few other countries too, I think I wish they would take more risk and send this. I feel like it was an accident that they had this national final and she was able to get up there and do this. I almost wonder if Little Big was going to go, and then at the last minute they're like, yeah, we can't do this Sex Machine song at Eurovision. Sorry, guys.
You're like, quick, who do we have in the Rolodex? Flip, Manisha, sure. Give her a call. And it worked out great for everybody, I think.
Except the more conservative Russian side of things, but I don't think this will do like typical Russia numbers, which is like somewhere in the top five, but I feel like this will get a respectable result, and I feel like this is definitely a turning point for things. This is like the first time I've actually felt any kind of connection with the Russian song other than admiring it for its production quality.
And if anything, I think it's going to be a victory for Manisha herself, having this massive, massive international platform to be able to perform in front of about 200 million viewers, especially an audience outside of Russia. This could open up some incredible doors for her. And I think that this is an artist that deserves an international stage. Not to say that, you know, some people are more deserving than others, but I mean, she really, really, I think, is innovative enough and different enough that I would love to see her have a bit more international clout.
I'll note that she is spot number 3 in the first semifinal, which is historically the weakest spot in a semi. I don't think it matters here. This is just so much fun.
Can't wait to see how she stages it.
Go get it.
I hope it's not too dissimilar from what she did at the national final. I think that worked quite well, hopefully.
We shall see.
Yeah. All right. 7 songs. Once again, Lithuania, Portugal, France, Israel, Austria, Poland, Russia. This has been a long show, so let's do this quick. Worst song of the week, starting with, I don't know. Who wants to go?
I may as well just rip the Band-Aid off. I'll say Austria, just because it kind of leaves me cold.
I, too, will say Austria.
I agree. It's Austria.
Eric?
Yeah, it's Austria.
Yeah.
I gave some consideration to Poland.
Don't
because
you
it's
dare.
Not because it's not good.
I'm both gratified and offended.
You sounded genuinely
on your business card. I mean, okay, fine. Yeah, it's Austria is the worst song this week. I still don't think it's
not
bad,
terrible.
Bad, but
no,
but
vocally it's yeah. fine. It's just not
do we feel it's better than Slovenian Amen?
Yes.
They're very similar in the fact that they are better than the songs.
Yes.
That the artists are better than the songs.
Fair enough. All right. Favorite song of the week. Sam, you went first. On worst, what is your best song?
I keep going back and forth between France and Russia, France and Russia, France and Russia. But They're so different. I'm going to have to give it to France, but Russia is like a half hair behind. Love them both. But I mean, France just sweeps me up. It just absolutely just steals my heart for 3 minutes and doesn't want to let me go. And Russia is more just, it energizes me and I like it a lot, but France just does something to me. So,
Danny?
France is the worthiest song this week. However, for me, it's Israel.
For a split second, I thought you were going to say Poland and I was going to lose it.
It's Israel and it's not close. I cannot get enough of this song.
Derek?
Oh, it's France. I think this is one of the best Eurovision songs in years.
Wow. Mm. As for me, going into this week, if I'd had to pick this in advance, I would have 100% said Portugal. But watching the video again, it's France. Portugal is up there for me. It really is. France is just, it's a hit. It's a monster hit. The more I think about it, the more I think this could be the one. It has that thing that Amar Pelishtoysh had. It's just going to be, will Europe be like, yes, that again or not? That's it. If they're into it, this is the song.
I mean, if they're voting for Switzerland, they're kind of looking at it and going, arcade again, to a certain extent.
Mm. Yeah. True. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, right.
And that brings up the question, would France be willing and able and ready to host back-to-back junior and senior?
They would do it.
They totally would.
That's just like them.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, if France wins, I feel less pressure to go to junior in the fall. Because I can just go to France in the spring instead.
Pourquoi non les deux? Je ne sais pas. Anyway, what I do know is that... what I do know is that you can reach out to us on social media. Let us know what your favorites and least favorites of this week are. How off were our opinions and how wrong are we in your eyes? Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. It's 12 Points USA on Facebook and Twitter, or email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. It's been another week, guys. Just a handful more of these to go.
That's right.
Same time next week.
Until that day.
Well, until then, my friends, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Eric.
I've been Danny.
And America,
stop listening now.
God, if you're still listening, I've come through the speed.